And I'm not blue.
Welcome to Spedum School Conversations. Thanks for joining us tonight. Our theme this April is homeschool mom burnout, basically. And it was a really good theme for us to pick this month, considering that most moms are pretty burnt out right now with all this COVID-19 stuff. So anyway, so we hope to encourage you tonight. And I have two very special guests from Home Life Academy. I have Margie and Amanda. And they're going to tell us a little bit more about themselves. But we're going to talk about strategies to prevent burnout. And then maybe possibly some ways to get out of burnout if you're already there. we also want to thank Bookshark for sponsoring this episode. And we'll hear more about them and their curriculum about halfway through this broadcast. But if you know somebody that you think maybe needs to hear what we're talking about tonight, and so why don't you just share this link? Because you can share the YouTube link, or you can share the Periscope link, or the link on Facebook, anywhere that that people can see that, because they're all publicly available. So we just thank you for being with us. Also know that you can share in the comments to be part of the conversation. So you can add your questions, your comments as we go along. So anyways, we just like to get to know you, Margie and Amanda, a little bit more, and a little bit about Home Life Academy as we get started, and we'll kind of start diving into to our topic tonight. And do you know who wants to start?
All right. Well, my name is Margie, and I homeschooled for about 30 years. I had six children. We homeschooled about six different states. I didn't have any idea what kind of education I was getting through all of that. So I kind of got closer to the end, and we moved to Tennessee, and I ended up coming to work for Home Life Academy and realized that lots of days I get to download what took me 30 years to learn and help mothers learn things in a lot shorter span. And
right.
It's just been a real huge blessing to be able to do that with Home Life Academy.
And that's the blessing of working with a consultant, is that you glean years of wisdom from somebody. So that's awesome.
So well, I'm Amanda. Yes. Well, I'm still in my homeschooling journey. I have two that we've homeschooled, and my son graduated last May, and then I have my daughter who is a junior this year. So I am closing in towards the end, and I just came on board with Home Life 2 years ago.
Okay.
So it's been I'm at the beginning of the journey with Home Life, but it's been very interesting. I've already learned a lot and happy to share any information that I've gained.
Yeah. Well, you've been homeschooling long enough to have some wisdom that you've gained, I'm sure. And you're an asset, I'm sure, to Home Life Academy. So can you guys tell us what Home Life Academy does so that parents aren't familiar with them, that they can learn a little bit more?
Well, Home Life Academy is an umbrella school. It started out here in Tennessee, where they could become a legal covering, where parents don't have to report to the school district. They can enroll with us and we report them, but we also have a full counseling staff where we help parents go through a lot of the struggles, pick out curriculum, figure out if there's things going on that they just don't know what to do with. We cry with them, we pray with them, we do whatever we need to help families. We meet all those documents kids, families need, and they do graduate with an official transcript and diploma from Home Life. So it's just a really neat operation, but it has grown as parents moved out. We are now legal covered in Florida and Alabama and Colorado, and we actually have students in every single state in the United States and internationally. So it has really grown this need for having this kind of support with homeschoolers.
Every parent needs a different level of support, and we shouldn't feel guilty because we need a level of support, if for the documenting, for the, just somebody to walk me through this. What are my curriculum options? How do I deal with this? And And so, you know, they're do everything from the parent who wants to do everything on their own and kind of free float through the whole process to I'd like some structure, and I'm not the one that's going to set up the structure. So.
Well, I think that's one thing that makes Home Life a little bit different than some others is they really do allow that flexibility, and which what I love, because I was not the typical homeschooler. And so I loved it that they give you that option to figure out how your children learn best and go with it. And I tell parents as we're helping them develop transcripts, you tell me what you're doing and I'll figure out how to put it in a transcript, you know, because parents can do all those different kind of things. And it's really, it really gives you that freedom for your child to learn the very, and it's definitely with kids with challenges, it's just the best because we get to figure that out and walk through that plan with them. You know, I tell my mothers the only thing they're not allowed to do is be anxious because that's against the rules. We can do whatever else, but you're just not allowed to be anxious. We're going to talk through this. We're going to figure it out. We're going to find the best plan for that kid, that student.
Well, and there is one trap that you can fall into that leads to burnout is the anxiety. You know, you dive into things before you even allow the time to process them about why you're doing them. And that can lead to burnout really quickly, can it?
Yeah, one of the biggest things I find that burns parents out fast is thinking that they're going to replicate public school at home. You know, they come home and we were public school trained. I was as guilty as anybody else. I came home and, you know, we did math at 8 and English at 9 and science at 10. And, you know, we planned that whole day and no day ever came out like that. I mean, that was a penalty for it to come out. But because I realized at home that we didn't have to do anything like that. We could have, you know, we could do science one day and a little bit of math every morning. And maybe we would do history. And then we did a lot of unit studies at our house. And so we just had a lot more. When we began to really be homeschoolers, there wasn't a lot of stress and burnout. It's when we were trying to make fit into that public school model of what it's supposed to look like. We thought it was.
Right. So Amanda, did you ever experience any burnout because of scheduling and things like that?
Yes. Like Margie said, either trying to mimic the school or with my youngest, there were some learning struggles. Mm-hmm. So comparing myself and my student to typical learners and comparing my worst days to someone else's, what they said was their best day. That was a big part of it. Yeah. To try not to compare and to find other like-minded moms and get that support.
Right. That's a huge strategy, is that like-mindedness instead of trying to fit someone else's mold and what homeschooling should look like. Because there are some people who do try to do the homeschool replicated model. They're not the public right. school replicated model. And they somehow have children that seems to work well with. I don't know how that happens because it would have bombed in my house.
Well, I've kind of found over time that no curriculum works for everybody, but every curriculum works for somebody. Yes. So that's the reason we've got to figure out. You've got kids that just thrive, you know, reading and taking tests. But then I remind parents that isn't really where you get the most long-term retention of information. You've got to touch it, feel it. And so helping them to find that balance in amongst all of that is really important. And not to get, I think setting those standards, you know, parents, like I think Amanda touched on, comparing yourself to somebody else. I had 6 and none of mine were the same. That's what really got me out of the box. I kept saying, oh Lord, what's coming next? You know, because they just, none of them, any of them might be similar. I actually have a whole workshop I do on how children learn best. And it's based on the 6 very different learning styles of my children. And people will call and I'll say, that's a child number 5. I got that. Okay. You know, because it's just really, you know, and I love it that we don't have to fit into that mold, but comparing your children to other people can really cause you to burn out and feel like I'm not doing enough and I got to work harder and I got to, you know, and if you just relax, they learn a lot more. If you then
need to talk. Yeah. It's the removal of that stress. Yeah. So Amanda, do you have anything to add to that about different children and how have your 2 been with, learning?
Oh, night and day. Yeah. Just, yeah. I thought I was a great teacher with the older one. Right. And then the second one, I'm like, why can't I teach her the alphabet? Mm-hmm. So, yeah. But being able to, I mean, we did the testing route and were able to get community support. We did, you know, speech therapy, things like that. So bringing the professionals on really helped me avoid some of the burnout and the encouragement that we were making progress. And I think another thing that really helped with avoiding burnout was the year round. We took lots of breaks, yes. But to keep from having to remediate and my daughter to forget all the things we've worked so hard to learn, mm-hmm. we were really encouraged to only take very brief, you know, couple week breaks and at least keep the core subjects going. Mm-hmm. So yeah, that kind of.
Quite a few parents in our community that do that. And
you know, one thing I find that burns parents out is that we've kind of got this mentality that all children are going to be good in every subject, you know?
Yeah.
And I remember I said, well, I actually loved math. I was the math geeky kid, and I loved math. So when I started homeschooling, I kind of became a math tutor. You know, people would bring me their kids. And I was just kind of amazed that they do not bring the kids that love math to the math tutor.
Yes.
They bring you all the kids that don't particularly like math. And what happened was, is that it was amazing. They could draw. They could paint. They could dance. They could write beautiful essays and books. They were writing their own novels, you know, but they couldn't do math, you know? And so it just helped me realize that all of us have a gift. So I often tell parents, you got to get the focus off of what they're not good at and get to find something they're really good at. And then just kind of pull in the other stuff that they need to get through that, because they're gifted somewhere, you know, I mean, every kid. Even the ones with challenges, you will find something that's their thing.
Yeah,
that is really their
mentality, that they have to be at the same grade level for every subject.
Piggy, I'm having a little hard time hearing you, so that may be why if I talk over you, I apologize.
Oh, no, that's fine.
Unless I see your lips moving, I'm going.
Yeah. I was just saying that public school mentality of every grade level has to be at, you know, every subject has to be at the same grade level. Nope, you're not hearing me. Let me try that. I'm going to check my mic quick here.
I'm sorry. One of the things that, you know, that Amanda touched on was getting help. You know, when we started back in the 1980s homeschooling, there was no help. We didn't have curriculum, really. We had nothing. Now there is thousands of curriculum options. There's people coming out with, you know, things to help families, you know, ways to even help kind of, I don't say cure, but at least improve kids' learning style.
Remediate.
I mean, Amanda, you know, you probably know more about that than I do. I go to these conventions and I see these people that they have really had success working with the brain to help. Have you had some insight into that? Have you used any of that?
Well, we did, like Lauren has dyslexia. So we are, we used Orton Gillingham and we did the Barton method. So the remediation and just being able to concentrate on the core subjects, not getting distracted by trying to do, like you said, mimic school and feel like you have to do health and social studies and science every year. We really targeted those core subjects of reading, writing, and arithmetic. Definitely all the elementary years. Just trying to get those skills down and add to the other subjects later.
Yeah, and we probably came at it a little bit opposite. We did unit studies. So we did like very little bookie work. We did one thing I think that prevented a lot of burnout for us was that we did not do school 5 days a week, the book work kind of stuff, you know,
sit down.
We did it maybe 3 to 4 days a week. And then we always made sure we had something to look forward to on Friday. You know, we made sure that whatever science thing that we were doing, we went on a field trip or we planned I wanted all the best one day. Or that's when we got together with other homeschoolers to, you know, to do that messy stuff and to do things together. So they always had something to look forward to. And I think we had something to look forward to, you know, to go see the other moms. I think, you know, when I was the talking to my daughter, who's just in the early stages of young children and looking at homeschool. I said, well, what do you think about burnout? And she said, well, if I get tired of it, I just do something new. You know, I've got something new to do. Exactly. I change it up. I don't get stuck in a rut of this is how we do it. I change it up. And I thought, well, that's really good. And I think that's what unit studies brought to the table. We were always studying something new or doing something different or going on a different kind of field trip. You know, I was kind of nicknamed the field trip queen in Ohio when we lived there 16 years because I was coming up with a field trip. And when I would set it up, it was just as easy to advertise it to the other homeschoolers and say, anybody else want to go? And of course, they'd all show up. And then everybody got to see each other and the kids built some really good relationships. But I think that change up really helped us not feel like we were stuck in a rut.
Right.
One thing I just want to mention about burnout a little bit was the fact that some curriculums were actually originally designed for private schools. So they're set up with a lot of busy work and a lot of workbooks and a lot of things. And you can get, that is the number one thing that somebody calls me and they're just frazzled. It is that I can almost, before I open the screen, I kind of know what curriculum they're using because changing up curriculum can really, it may not be that your kid's not even good at that. It's just the curriculum has got too much busy work and it's just not a good fit.
And sometimes it's written in a language or in a, are you still having a hard time hearing me? Or
no, it's much better. Okay. Thank you. Okay. It's much better.
My microphone was kind of wonky before I started. But sometimes just the language used in a curriculum is not what you speak in your home, I've found. And so you read these questions and your kids are like, I don't quite interpret that because that's not how we speak at home. It's, you know, there are different words being used or the question is just brought from a different angle than you normally, you know, approach things in your house. So, that is so true.
Yeah, we always, you know, that's one of the big things that people are burning out is to look at that and just see, what could I do different? You know, I always tell moms, if you are not having fun, do something different because learning should be fun. It should not be torture. I don't learn if I'm miserable. All I can think about is how can I get out of this misery? And I think that's what happens when you burn out. You feel like I'm just miserable. Do I really want to keep doing this? And I think that you need to change it up and make it fun. You know, it doesn't matter how your children learn. It matters that they're learning. Mm-hmm. And just because you go through a workbook and take tests does not mean that your kids are learning. You know, it means, so I actually had read across some research that said that if they get to the point they can tell you what they have learned, not take a test. If they can verbally tell you, that their retention of information will go to about 90%. And I'm being an accountant most of my life. I'm numbers. I like numbers. Mm-hmm. And I said, if they only read and take tests, they say that the retention of information will be about 5 to 10%. So I like the 90% odds over the 5 to 10%. Give me the. So I was always asking my children, why do you think it works that way? Or if they ask me a why question, I love to say, especially as they got older and they could research things themselves, I said, I have no idea. That is a great question. Why don't you go research that? And they became, when they got to college, we didn't even like really prepare our kids for college like people think you need to do. But when they got to college, they were really good at going and finding the answers because they've been doing this their whole life with me going, well, that's great. Go figure that. And then they would come back and tell me what they had learned. And then we both learned. Then they would tell their younger siblings, and their younger siblings would learn, but then they also are just instilling that knowledge into themselves to retain it for a long term. So, but it's a lot more fun. It's just a lot more fun that way, whether it's a game. You know, one of our favorite websites was Shepherd Software because it had beat the level games and it has math games and science games. And Amanda probably knows a bunch of great websites too, but it made it fun. And all of a sudden we had a 4-year-old that got on there and memorized his states and capitals.
Yeah.
I'm not even sure he really understood what a state and capital was, but he could tell you what they all were. Because if you make it fun, they can learn. They can learn much better. So if you're not having fun, call one of us. We'll help you figure out.
Yeah, I do talk a lot with parents. The longer I homeschooled, the more laid back I got and stopped trying to mimic the school system. And I started to feel like I wanted to keep in mind that I wanted to finish the long haul. And I didn't want to burn out. So those early years, now that I'm towards the end, I feel like I can encourage moms to take it easy those first years. Like you're saying, Margie, have more fun.
Right.
Yes, learn your arithmetic. Yes, read and write. But don't try to mimic the school and burn yourself out.
Yeah,
I think that one of your main goals needs to be when you get to the end is that they love to learn. And so if you have done it in a fun way, they love to learn. One of my children told me about a year or so ago, he said, you know, all six of us are so different. And I said, yeah, I get that. And he said, but we are all learning junkies. He said, all of us just love to go. And I thought, well, I think that's probably one of the best compliments I could get.
Yeah, definitely.
Life doesn't come with an owner's manual. You have got to keep learning. You know, a lot of parents would say, well, how will I know if I teach them everything? And I said, I'll just tell you, you're not going to teach them everything.
Exactly.
But if you teach them to love to learn, they'll learn the rest of their life. So let that thirst for learning. If you're not seeing light bulbs coming on and they're going, then you need to do something different. They need to have that excitement for loving to learn.
Mm-hmm.
And it's fun. And then you have fun too. You make more memories. You make more good memories. You know, having gotten to the end, everybody kept thinking, oh, you're going to have empty nest. And I thought, no, honey, when I got to the end of 30 years, I was tired. I said, but I had a lot of memories. I have a lot of cool things we did that I treasure in the years that they're all grown up. And now I'm getting to watch them go out and be adults is what I wanted. I wanted adults when I was finished. So we worked at that.
The love of learning. Nancy had shared, she said, my son loves history and geography, and I think that's the most hated in school. I agree. Almost every homeschool mom I've talked to, if they were public school or private school, history was one of their top ones that they hated, and now they love it. He's really not good reading, but it's hard for me to make sure that I was giving him what he loves. And, you know, there's so many ways to go around the not reading part, to still that history and that geography. And, you know, just figuring what Margie was talking about earlier was that, you know, find out what they're good at, and then you accentuate that, and then you kind of help them in those areas that they struggle in. But there's just so many options now that you can change up.
Well, that little website, Shepherd Software, one of the first things they developed on that was a geography games. And it was just amazing. So I tell her, go check it out. It's a free website. You just go on there. But, you know, lots of kids love to play games and they love to beat the level, you know. And so they put on there, and next thing they know, they learned world geography, and they didn't really, it was kind of just snuck in there, you know, and it'd be fun. We had a daughter that had some learning challenges, and we had realized she was a real auditory learner. She needed to hear everything. Actually, I realized as we went through it with her that I'm an auditory learner, that I need to hear things. And as a child, I used to go in my bedroom, read everything out loud, because we didn't have audiobooks back then. You know, you had to read. And that's how I retained information. So when she came along, I was like, oh my gosh, but we have resources now. So we didn't care if kids read the book, or they listened to it on an audio book, or they watched a movie about the book. Whatever it took to get the information in here, that's what we wanted. And so I think that really sets people free too, is to realize, oh, read and take it is not the only way to get information inside of you.
Right. We used my father's world, and the read alouds were so important, and especially for my daughter. And then when we were introduced to the audiobooks, ear reading. So Lauren even says now, Mom, I do not like to eye read. I want to ear read.
Mm-hmm.
But realizing that is just as important, and the kids are still learning, even if they're not doing all of the reading themselves.
Well, and one thing we just fell upon was a curriculum that my daughter actually figured this out, because she could highlight the text on the computer and it would read it out loud. So she was seeing it and hearing it at the same time. And she had been one of those very slow, every syllable kind of readers. And just within a year, her reading speed just increased because we added the audio to the seeing it. And it was amazing. Just that little thing. And I know now they probably have even more little things that you can do. But it can make a big difference if you change up the game a little bit.
Right. Yeah. Nancy made the comment that her son has auditory processing disorder as well as dyslexia. I don't know if you two have run into that, but my middle son has that exact yes. same thing, Nancy. And the only thing that worked for him, because he needed both the auditory and the visual, is to watch movies with captions. He reads those incredibly. Graphic novels work well for him, but those are the only things he can read without getting tired. And he's 21 now, and that still is the same. It's just a very tiring experience for him because the auditory processing is so difficult, as well as the visual with the dyslexia, that
yes.
To keep all those things together.
But it's neat he's found something that works for him.
But yes, exactly. You just have to keep trying and, talk to people who've been through it, like these ladies, you know. It's
One of the things that triggered me early on to look for something different, because I was an accountant, so people say, I'm not as creative as you. I said, I was in that box, buddy. I was in that box. But we lived next door to a gentleman that when I would talk to him, I thought, oh my gosh, this man is so smart. Mm-hmm. And he was getting his master's degree. I knew he was getting the master's degree at the same school my husband was going to. And his wife told me, she said, but you have to understand, he has never read a book and he has never written his own paper. She said, he was labeled stupid and special ed and all these different things until his wife realized that if she read him the books, he retained it, you know, or if he dictated papers, she could write down all this incredible stuff that was in his head. And so it really gave an open door to me to realize that it didn't matter how they learned. It matters that they're learning, and
right.
people need to put what they're learning on a different plate. You know, we've been trying to serve it all on one kind of plate, and they just need it served a different way. Mm-hmm. And if we do that, it's amazing.
What are some things you learned, Amanda, with your daughter, when, as far as, you know, different approaches that may not be typical?
Well, things could be very overwhelming and discouraging. So we needed to do the harder things in the morning and had to go ahead and get those done. And we did I'm trying to think of what they're called. It's like a exercise ball, but you just sit in it in a chair. It's like a disc. Lots of alerting things. And Lauren, once she got older, she understood that to get through pre-algebra, she was going to have to do some alerting things. So she would get ice water and chew gum and, suck on peppermint, put a weighted blanket in her lap. just that calming things that she needed to get through something that was very hard for her brain. And that was really nice when you realize that you've been doing things for years and that now they know, as a high school student, to go and do those things for themselves. Yes. to get it done.
They have to do that when they're an adult and they're working a job and they have those stresses and they need to know how to appropriately deal with them.
Right.
My daughter has like a thing that she chews on.
Yes.
She's like, otherwise I'm going to chew on my fingernails. So she has this, it's called chewlery, and it's like jewelry that she can chew on. And it helps her relieve her stress when she's, trying to do something focused. Yeah.
Yeah.
So true. Yeah. Well, we're going to take a quick break and hear from our sponsor, and because we're already halfway through. And then we're going to come back and we'll wrap up with Amanda and Margie, and I'm sure they have a lot more to share with us. But if you have any questions also for them while we're taking a break or after we get back started, or comments, please make sure you put them in the feed. We want to make sure that that's part of our conversation too. So you two can take a quick breather here and we'll hear from Bookshark. So we thank you, Bookshark, for sponsoring this episode of A Sped Homeschool Conversations. And Bookshark, if you don't know about them, they are a curriculum company. They have a literature-based four-day faith-neutral curriculum, and you can find them at bookshark.com, just like on the bottom of the screen there. But Kim McNary, a busy homeschool mom, says that my daughter is on the spectrum as well as has OCD and has instantly taken to this curriculum. It's incredibly structured, which is great for both of us, and the kids are awesome too. I'm running my daughter at all kinds of appointments, and the curriculum fits in amazingly. So Kim is right. Bookshark is fully planned for 4-day curriculum that flexes with your schedule. And so it has a detailed instructor's guide. Everything's laid out for you, prepared to teach. All you do is open up, and even all the materials are included in the kits. So all you just do is open up and go. They got curriculum for ages 4 to 16. It's available in all subjects, or you can purchase it by subject if you just want to pick and choose. So it's reading with history, language arts, science, math, and with Bookshark's Literature Rich program, you actually read 35 to 50 engaging books a year. And they are either, you can read them, your child can read them, or they can be read. They do have the audio version as well. So you can visit them at bookshark.com to download free samples as well as to request a catalog. So thank you, Bookshark, and definitely check out their website. But I'm going to bring Margie and Amanda back. And so we are talking about strategies to prevent homeschool burnout. And you guys have shared some really good stuff about being flexible, about not comparing ourselves to others, about just taking it at your child's pace and thinking outside the box. And there's just so many things involved with that. I think we as parents, and I've heard this over and over again from homeschooling parents, I think we put the demands on ourselves that are so high. And I remember thinking, especially with a struggling learner, you know, going to these homeschool conferences, and I've been homeschooling for 18 years, but I would leave crying because all they wanted to tell me was how my child can make it through to college when they're 13. And I'm thinking, you don't be reading by the time he's 13. I don't want to hear that. But success looks different for every child. And I think that's what you've been talking about. And even in every homeschool, you know, I love, Margie, that all your children are different. I mean, that probably wasn't the easiest thing for you.
Well, I actually, in my workshop, I compare it to a zoo. I really, sometimes I even would answer the phone and say, Margie's zoo, how are you? Okay. Because it was a wild thing. But we just, each one of us just, now you look back and you realize God was training me, I think, for all those different things, you know. But, you know, so I was talking about homeschool burnout today with a couple of people that came across my path. One of the things that one of the ladies brought up to me was, she said, my burnout wasn't always caused by the schooling. It was other things. And it was the responsibility of keeping the house and keeping, you know, because she said, I just get to the point that I thought, I just need to give them away to somebody else so I can have a clean house for a day. I don't know if anybody felt that way. You know,
I think a lot of moms are that way. Yes.
She said that's why she would send them to a, you know, a class or something, because they need something. And, you know, just brought back a lot of memories to me of the ways that God's wanted. We actually lived out of state from any family. So we had no, like, I couldn't call grandma to come over and help. It wasn't happening. But God managed to supply a lot of grandmas and grandpas for our kids. And so sometimes there's just those people out there in your church or somewhere that they're done raising their kids and they really would love for you to help. There was an older lady lived across the street from us that had I didn't even know it till we got to doing this, that she had raised 7 children herself, that she had never homeschooled, but she had. So she understood. And she finally one day came around, she said, look, is there anything I could do to help you? And I said, well, if you could just make these socks, you know, because I have 8 people in this house, I cannot keep everybody in socks. And she would come over once a week and make socks, but she would also listen to a child read a book or talk to them and ask them about what they were doing for school. And she passed away about a year ago. And my kids, it was like a grandparent left the earth because they were attached to this sweet little woman that just came over. You know, they had another gentleman in their lives that was a man at our church that his kids were all running. He was a retired engineering professor. And he would, he just wanted to spend time with the kids, and he would come over and take them on bike rides and do things. But he also, our little daughter that struggled reading, he sat every week for an hour or so, he would just help her with her reading and play reading games with her. It was wonderful for me with having a lot of children, having that extra help. So just look around you. There might be some people that could help with that burnout by being there. You're blessing them and blessing you at the same time. They need that opportunity.
Yeah,
and
I think the Lone Ranger mom, homeschooling mom, we can't portray that anymore.
Right.
You know, I was talking with Steve Demme, and he said one of his new conference talks was going to be how to build your team, because he said, we can't do this alone. We need to know how to do this. And so that, you know, those were people that were part of your team. Amanda, you had talked about therapy too, you know, so that's another way.
Right.
Other ways that you kind of had, you didn't, you know, other ways that you got help with your
home? I did. I was fortunate that my sister-in-law homeschooled my nieces and nephew. So we had weekly, we call them co-ops, but they were very laid-back co-ops. There was a lot of fellowshipping with my sister-in-law and I, and the kids, you know, we did art projects or went through, did a history lap book or something, but it was a lot of playing and a lot of us comparing notes and decompressing. And that was really important. Another really important thing at having a struggling learner was when we were in a local support group, that was when people met more in person than they do just online. We realized that they were targeting typical learners. So we started our own struggling learners group. And that was so helpful to have, again, like-minded people that we could encourage one another. One day I literally just said, I think I posted on some platform, if your child struggles with math, could you come over and we can just, you know, brainstorm. And they just came over in the living room and we talked about different options. And so just really being intentional to find like-minded people with some of the same struggles. We found Touch Math, which was a phenomenal, a life-saving thing for my daughter with dyscalculia.
I
don't know what we would have done. Yes.
That has really been helpful that with that.
No, and one thing that's kind of, I'm sorry, I can't hear you again, Peggy. So,
oh, okay.
But one of the things that triggers what she was saying with that is that we have this whole new phenomenon happening in the homeschool world, is that you've got a lot of people like me who have, you've got the second generation homeschooling. And I have a lot of mothers who'll say, oh my gosh, what if I, you know, and I go, just look around you. There's some other homeschoolers to help. And so there is that whole thing of being able to use and find people that have walked this road that are around you, because there's more and more that are out there, and we're not going to run out of homeschoolers. We need everybody that's got all that experience to bring it to the table. Mm-hmm.
Now we can connect so well online.
Amazing.
That's just open doors. Before you had your monthly meetings and email, so now there's just a lot more support.
Oh, sweetheart, when we started homeschooling, there wasn't even internet or email.
You mailed
letters by snail mail, and you had phone chains that you called.
Oh, wow.
I laugh and tell people, I remember the first time somebody brought a VHS tape to a co-op to play an educational tape, and we thought, is that right? Can we do that? And so it has come so far. It's just so many opportunities. You know, when we started, everybody said, your kids will never go to college. And so now we go to conventions and we see all these colleges coming wanting our children to, I'm going, this
kids,
is good.
Yes.
This is good. Cool. You know? So it's come a long way that the opportunities are just, it's actually kind of, pendulum has swung a lot. Mm-hmm. To where homeschooling really offers more benefits than being in a traditional school, because you can really cater it to them.
Right. And, and not pigeonholing yourself that support has to look like this. I mean, it was nice to listen to both of you and just the differences, you know, whether you have family or you don't have family, whether your child, you know, is struggling profoundly or not. And so there are so many options. I know with my kids, I had two other families because I didn't have family nearby, Amanda, but I had like that same fellowship time with these two moms.
Right.
Both kids on the autism spectrum. And our kids actually understood each other as well as their siblings. And so we just had a co-op once a week where we just got together and we hired a teacher maybe to do a class, and then they just had playtime and we got to
talk.
So yeah, so important. And yes, Nancy, the house clean, that that didn't happen for years in my house.
That's home ec.
Yeah. Well, you
that's
know,
home ec, exactly.
Get the kids involved.
Well, that's true. You know, we had, I do a workshop called How to Survive Homeschooling, and it didn't have to do with curriculum. It had to do with doing things like planning a menu, because every day at 4 or 5 o'clock, these people are going to show up and say, what is for dinner? And you need to have had some idea, because when you homeschool, they do it 3 times a day.
Uh-huh,
and you're
right.
Like, oh my gosh, I got to feed these people. But then learning to, if you feed them healthy, then you have a lot better success too. You know, learning how to keep your house clean. And I love that Amanda said you do it together. We would go into a room. We were blessed. We finally got our house all hardwood floors. And I would go in with a broom, a dustpan, a trash can, and a laundry basket. And we would all go together. And I would take the broom and sweep it all in the middle of the floor. And if it was anything that they wanted to not have to sing for later, then they grabbed it and put it away, or we put it in the basket. I swept the floor, put the trash in the trash can, and we moved to the next room. We could go through our whole house in pretty short order. And then at the end of the day, you had this basket of stuff that wasn't where it's supposed to be. We would watch a movie, because we didn't, you know, you have to realize we never had cable or dish or so it was
exactly
a big deal but whatever, even if it wasn't that day, but whatever day we watched, I would stop the movie. I had my own commercial breaks, and I called them clutter drills, and they had to stop, and they had to pick up anything that, you know, they'd have to run out. Say, okay, everybody has to find 5 things, and they would go put it away, and then, or they could make 5 things out of this basket and go put it away. We made a game out of a lot of stuff.
Right.
Oh,
usually
awesome.
By the end of the night, depending on how much had to be put away, was how many items they had to get every time there was a commercial break. By the time we went to bed, everything was back where it needed to be. You know, now sometimes it would only get to the room where it needed to be, but at least that bathroom, I could put things back where they belong. Mm-hmm. So it helped us keep some sanity, because you don't learn well, and you will get burned out if there's chaos around you all the time.
Yeah.
I used to tell them, I need a clean surface, because when we get clean surfaces, it says pile on me or spill on me. You know, the floors, I said, we got to have times that you kind of pull everything together. So it is okay to have an in-service day. You know, at school, they had in-service day.
Right,
you know,
exactly.
They let the kids clean desks at school. You know, at least we did back in our school. So, it's okay to call a day. So we're going to have organizational skill day. We got to get the house back under control, because that lack of control makes it not a good learning environment, but it also causes a lot of stress. And that was one thing my friend reminded me of this afternoon, the how stressed you would get when the house was out of control. And I said, well, you just stop and clean it up, because it's not going to keep working.
Well, that's a good point you brought up, is chaos. What are some other things as far as chaos in our lives that can lead to burnout? And what are some ways that you can combat that?
Oh, I must have been really good at this chaos, because one was having the kids do so much stuff. We were always told, what about socialization? What about socialization? And I reached a point, I said, I want to anti-socialize these children. I had 4 in soccer, 1 coach in, with ref in soccer, and 1 getting married one spring. And my husband said, nobody's playing soccer this spring. And we were like the soccer family, you know. And he said, these kids will live without soccer, but I'm not sure you're going to live with it. You cannot be running on these ball fields.
Good husband who tells you that.
And he never asked me. Yeah. You know, he never drew lines in the sand very often, but when he did, I listened. And it was a great spring. We realized, oh my gosh, everything calmed down. We weren't running. It was wonderful. We were able to enjoy getting ready for our son's wedding. You know, it just made life so much better. And we realized that everybody just couldn't be doing everything, or even if it was just one sport. We said, how about pick one or two sports a year. You know, like you play soccer in the fall and soccer in the spring, you know, but you can't be doing two things at once. And so I think it's that chaos of getting your schedules just too full.
Right. And well, it's leaving some margin in your lives, you know. Yes, definitely. Amanda, is there any margin that you kind of carved out?
Well, I think that giving yourself forgiveness or space when we did have all of our family together in the same city. So if someone was in the hospital or someone had to go to the nursing home, we fostered newborns. So when we would have these unusual circumstances, you would start to feel like you're falling behind because you're not doing the typical school day, but giving yourself permission to know that this is still learning. It's learning compassion, it's patience, it's, you know, newborn care and ministry. And that was another part. We always felt like we did the year-round school to either be catching up or getting ahead, because as you homeschool for years and years, you realize that life is going to happen in your homeschool family. And so when you stop worrying about the checklist and just, again, just life is part of the schooling experience, that helped a lot with the mom guilt.
Mm-hmm. We have a lot of people that call that agree, I have done my 180 days. I have got to. And right. I looked at them, I said, I'm pretty sure as a homeschooler, we homeschooled 365 days a year. If their feet hit the floor, we were teaching them something. So I always said, just, you know, don't worry about it. You are doing it. It's not everything that just comes out of a book. And I think, like I said, you can feel burned out because you feel like you're not, you know, meeting all those things. But life is, you know, life is a, you know, the world is your classroom. You know, life is
right.
So it's fun, you know. Right. When one thing they said a lot about socialization when we first started homeschooling, and I used to always say, well, what is socialization? Is that like when you're all in the same room with all the same age people? Because I've never worked a job that everybody was my same age. So to me, that's not getting them ready to be an adult. But if they can rock a baby in the nursery, like you do, or they can push a wheelchair in a nursing home and they can look an adult in the face. Now, to me, that's socialization.
Right.
And so sometimes those expectations, people think, well, I got to get my kids around people their own age. And I thought, well, that's not really the way life plays out, is it, Amanda? You know?
No, definitely not.
So I think it's great they had, you know, I told my older children, you automatically get a child care credit because you
were
just younger children, you know. So because that was just life. They knew more about, we kind of laughed. Our oldest daughter never played with dolls. You know, everybody was going, she doesn't care anything about baby dolls. I said, why should she? She's got the real thing.
Right.
She was there when our last two children were born. She was, you know, she just grew up with that, you know.
So. I think another big problem that I started out with was thinking too much about the future. And when my older son, or my son, was doing chemistry or algebra one and thinking, how am I going to teach Lauren these particular subjects? And letting tomorrow's problem steal today's joy. And just forecasting problems. And now they're on totally two different paths. Home life lets us do a 4-year college path, a 2-year college path, or a life path. And Matthew, my older one, was on the 4-year college path, and my younger one is on the life path. And so she's not doing chemistry and the higher maths because that does not fit her goals. And so I wasted a lot of time worrying about the future when I needed to just focus on, you know, the pre-algebra that we were doing today.
And if you need that curriculum, you know, I would sit and pray about it, and whatever my child needed would fall into my lap when I needed it.
Amen. That's right.
It would just be there. And if it wasn't meant to be, it wasn't meant to be. I mean, we got to the point with my middle son with high school math, and we did logic because algebra just made no sense to him at all.
Right.
And he even said, I'm not going to college, Mom. And I said, okay, if you're okay with this transcript, I'm okay with this transcript.
Yes.
And, you know, that's,
And, you know, we never put our daughter on a college path at all. Our one daughter that struggled, we just thought get her out of high school path was what we were on. We just, I didn't worry about the future, but I just said, as long as we fill in the blanks and get this girl graduated, it's going to be a good day. But when she had made enough improvements that her junior year, I said, well, why don't you just go over to this local Bible college and dual enroll a class? Because they were letting you do it. It was just when they were just starting to let you do dual enrollment. Yeah. And I said, and then you'll be able to tell people that you have some college, but don't go take English comp or math. Just take something fun. So she went over to theater design and sports management. She had helped start a homeschool volleyball team. She thought they'd be handy. And she got over there and she fell in love with it. And she came home and said, Mama, it's not about how smart you are. It's do you show up for class? Do you know how to do what the teacher's telling you to do? Can you talk respectful to the teacher and go ask for her help if you need it? I mean, she aced out both of those classes and ended up going to college. Mm-hmm. And we didn't have her at college. I tell people, just check the boxes. If they're meant to go to college, they'll go to college. But you said there was kids there that she knew were technically a lot smarter than her. That didn't do as well as her because they didn't have a work ethic. They didn't enjoy learning. They didn't have a good attitude. And they didn't succeed. So I've always felt like those were probably the three most important things that my kids walked out of my house with, was that good work ethic, that love for learning, and to do life with a good attitude. You know, I tell my kids, what was the best thing that happened to you yesterday? You know, think about the good stuff.
That circles us back to what we kind of started with, was that lifelong learner, you know, the joy of learning and just really embedding that in your children and not getting stressed out about the books and what that should look like and everything. So, yeah, definitely. We've got just about 7 minutes left. As we finish up, are there anything that that we haven't talked about that you definitely want to make sure to get in and say to parents? Encouragement or just some final
I think I'm looking back through my notes. I tried to write things down today, and one of the things that popped out with me was today is, you know, we tend to be as homeschoolers to be that cross every T and dot every I, you know, if we're doing workbooks and good stuff, and we can just feel, and you know, they'll even tell you now, as I've researched a lot more, they'll say if you do 80 to 85% of a curriculum, it's considered done because there is so much repeat the next year. And a lot of times if they didn't have enough to fill out the year, they just stuck stuff in there that didn't matter. You know, to finish out. They just finish up.
The student needed extra time.
Even math. Back of math books, I have seen stuff and they'll say, well, you probably never need to know that this is just extra kind of stuff you might can learn. So they say, so parents got to get mine. If I get about 80 to 85% done, then I'm still doing really well. I don't remember ever finishing a book in school. So I think that sets a lot of parents free too, to realize that we're here to grasp. And K through eighth grade, they repeat so much, especially third through eighth grade. When we got to the end of the eighth grade with the last child, I said, I have taught grammar 36 times because those 6 years, you teach grammar over and over and over and over. I knew a lot of grammar. I wasn't sure how much the kids knew, but I definitely learned a lot more grammar. But you just need to realize they just repeat a lot. If they haven't got it by the eighth grade, you might, you know, I don't know what you get. By high school, they just need a proofreader.
Yeah, you know, just use Grammarly, pay for the subscription. That's what I use.
Right.
Yeah, definitely. What about you, Amanda?
I think still just being intentional about good support and self-care. We as moms are really hard on ourselves, and I really stressed with not only being the mom, especially of a struggling learner, but also the teacher. And I think that we really have to learn to cut ourselves some slack. And just like Margie said it several times, just about helping them to love learning, helping them to know how to learn. Because we aren't going to teach them everything that they need to know. They need to know how to get information. And just each day trying to keep the end in mind that you want to finish well. And that's why I got less and less structure to some degree and more laid back as I went on. And I really think that it kind of helped undo the things that I started out when I was too structured. The kids don't remember that now. They remember getting to sit in my bed and work on the continent song and doing read alouds with hot chocolate. That's the pictures that were on Facebook. That's what they remember. And just lots of forgiveness.
Mm-hmm. And that is so true, Amanda. My kids don't even remember very little about textbooks, but they do remember all the field trips and stuff.
Yes. Yeah. Well, I want to thank you both for taking time to share, and I want to thank Home Life Academy for connecting us. I know they said we want to get our consultants on and have them talk about strategies, and you guys have had some really good good information. And so just know that Home Life Academy is there for you. You can find them at homelifeacademy.com. And like Margie said at the beginning, and Amanda talked a little bit about what they do, they've got people there to help you figure out how to do this, that'll walk through with you. And they do understand struggling learners. So, yes. So definitely they're a resource, and they're one of our partner organizations as well. And we appreciate that. And so we share a lot of resources between each other. So, and we also want to thank Bookshark for sponsoring this episode. And if you want to continue a conversation, we are going to pop off of this video and go right into Mom's Night Out, which is on a closed link on our YouTube station, but you can find that link on our website, or if you're part of our Facebook support group, you'll see that pop up as well. But the next hour is about you. You can pop on with me, just like these ladies, and we're going to chat and share our victories for this week, our prayer requests, and all of that. And so, yeah, definitely. And Nancy, she has one more comment. My friend who is homeschooled high school, and I just started to think about homeschooling. Told her, but never be able to teach high school. She said, don't worry where you're not at. And I think that was a good thing what Amanda said is, mm-hmm. you know, one day at a time. Definitely, yeah. Nancy, that's, yeah. But yeah. If you're thinking about high school, we have a brand new manual on how to homeschool a struggling learner through high school that was a collaborative project with some of our other partners. And yeah. We're in the editing process right now. It's already written. It's a 22-chapter manual. It's huge. But I'm excited that'll be coming out very soon. So.
And that's kind of what I do for Home Life is I do the transition to high school. So get that fear out. And Peggy, I just want to thank mm-hmm. you for allowing us to be yes. with you tonight and get to do this. This was a lot of fun. I hope we get to do it again.
Yeah. Yes, thank you so much.
Definitely. All right. Well, we'll see you all next week. Oh, and next week we're going to talk about dethroning fear and embracing purpose in your homeschool with Ashley Campbell. And so that's our topic next week as we continue this homeschool mom burnout. We're trying to avoid that, though, right? So we'll see.
Call us before you get there.
Yes, exactly. Don't get to that point.
All right. Okay. Thank you.
Bye, thank everybody. You.